It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
It's time for episode 177 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week, we have a chance to help a great comics miniseries come to a successful conclusion. That's the Max Hunter series, and it's called Max Hunter Snowfall, and issue number 3 and the trade paperback are going to be coming out soon. So that's why I'm talking with Alex Lobato, the creative force behind these comics, about the Kickstarter that's going to be starting very soon. We talk about the book and how it started and how you can be involved in bringing it to comics readers everywhere. Oh, and there's a little fun story to come in that Alex had happen at MegaCon that we'll get to at the end too, so be sure to listen all the way through. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show.
Dirtbags crowd our streets. My job, round these folks up, collect their bounties.
I want to welcome back to the podcast Alex Lobato, the creator of the Max Hunter series of comics, many good things, and who has a great Kickstarter which will help the next issue of Max Hunter Snowfall come out, if I'm not mistaken. How are you doing today, Alex?
I'm doing great, Wayne. Good to be back, man. Good to talk to you again. Everything's really good. Thanks.
Good, good. Now, why don't we jump right into what's going on with the third issue? This is what the Kickstarter project is about, right?
Yeah, we're launching a Kickstarter for Max Hunter, not just the third issue of Max Hunter, Snowfall, but also the trade paperback collecting all three issues, because this is the concluding issue for the story arc of Snowfall. So we're really excited, man. We're going to finally be able to tell the whole story, how it's been envisioned from the beginning, and hopefully make way for great things coming. This Kickstarter is not only going to launch our comic book, it's going to launch Max Hunter as a whole, because our next step is to get into Diamond and get these books distributed through Think Alike Productions. So we're really looking forward to all of that.
Very good. How's the business going with Think Alike? How are you guys doing? Because you guys are creating a lot of good stuff, from what I can tell.
Oh, yeah, man. We teamed up. Well, I mean, we've teamed up a while back with several other companies in there, several other books in there, like Salvagers and Sakura. And so far, it's been amazing working with these guys, working with Think Alike and working with Bob Sally and working with Kevin Mills. And it's been a lot of fun. We went to MegaCon together and we shared a booth at MegaCon for the first time. It was Ruben, Bethany, Roger, and Ben from Think Alike Productions. And then ourselves, me, Kevin, Mo, Chow, and Hector, our artist, we all went to MegaCon and had a great time. We actually sold out of Max Hunter and we sold out of the second issue that just arrived.
Wow.
And it was the first time that we've sold out in any conventions. And I totally think that it's just because there's a force now pushing these books, not just one head, but two heads, and doing the best that we can to attract as much fans as we can.
Well, you guys each bring your certain fandom with you. And when you combine them all, that gives a much broader appeal to folks. And I like what Ruben says about making like Think Alike be an image-like organization, that you, when you see the logo on a comic, you know you're going to get a good book and a good read. So, well, I think that you guys are doing good stuff with Max Hunter. So I'm glad you're doing it and everything's going real well.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you. Yeah, we're really enjoying it. This will wrap up our Max Hunter series for now, depending on how well it does in the sales, and we'll continue other stories. We already have other stories scripted. But we have another story coming out as well that's being written by one of our Darkseid Global writers, Kevin Roche. And it's a story that I'm really looking forward to getting it done and getting an artist on board for it and going through the whole process again. I think that that story is going to really be interesting and good. And we'll definitely be able to move forward with that real soon after our Kickstarter, if our Kickstarter is successful.
Well, I'm pretty positive about their campaign because you've already conducted a successful Kickstarter campaign, so you're getting good at it by now.
You know, it's a learning process. Every time we do it, we think, so this is the reason for success, or this is the reason that we're going to make our goal. And it's not. It's not. It's something else. It's something different every time. And we try new things every time. And we're really hoping that this one does work out for us and that it gets us to our goal. And we've been super grateful and blessed to have had a successful Kickstarter the first time and the second time around and be able to launch our comic book, Max Hunter 1 and Issue 2. So far, so good. You know, everybody received their rewards perfectly and fine. And everybody's really happy with them.
Very good. Yeah, I got my book in the mail, which I really appreciated getting. So cool. Very good stuff. It all worked out real well. Now, why don't we, just in case there's somebody that hasn't read Max Hunter or doesn't know anything about the character, why don't you go ahead and give like a TV guide version of what the situation is and who that character is?
Okay. Max Hunter is a bounty hunter who grew up in Gateway City. Well, he moved to Gateway City and made this city his home. Gateway City is the central heart of all our stories that are going to be told in Darkseid Global. Mm-hmm. Max Hunter, as a child, witnessed, you know, not with giving out too much away, but, you know, witnessed a brutal death in his family and lost his sister in the process as well. And so he grew up with tragedy in his past. And as he grew older, he decided to take on his father's business and become an accountant. So he went to work for this Krupp agency. Jeremiah Krupp is a person in charge of Gateway City. He built Gateway City from the ground up. And working for Krupp, an accident happens. And Max Hunter obtains a virus that is slowly deteriorating him. But at the same time, it heals him and rejuvenates parts of his wounds and parts of his skin into metal. So Max Hunter is a cybernetic bounty hunter after that accident. And so we see Max Hunter chasing his latest bounty in issue 1, Solomon Boone, when an assassin gets in the way, Vincent Snow. Mm-hmm. And Max Hunter chasing this bounty wants to keep him alive. Vincent Snow wants him dead. The results of that ended up with a vicious cycle of both a bounty hunter and an assassin mm-hmm. going head to head and butting heads. And so this story arc is about Max Hunter versus this assassin, Vincent Snow. We see Vincent Snow's past in issue 2, and we see that he also had a violent upbringing. So we see how he turns out from that, and he takes it personal when he visits Max Hunter's place of business and kills Max Hunter and kidnaps his assistant, hacker sidekick, Keys. We find out right off the bat at the end of the issue that Max Hunter is still alive. And so issue 3 is going to take us to Max Hunter trying to get his partner back and finishing what he started with Vincent Snow.
Okay. Because it's been a good story so far. I really love it. And I also like one of the neat little art things that you do is when a character speaks, they have a separately colored word balloon. And I always like that. Because a lot of times I'll be sitting there going like, who's saying that exactly? And you have to kind of look and follow the lines around. But with your book, we always know right away who is talking and you know what they're saying, which is really nice and clear. And I think the art's real dynamic, too. I think you do a very nice job, a very sharp, easy-to-read art style in there. And I just think that it makes the story, your story, come to life real well. And I think that's, you know, that's what you have to do in comics. You have to visually make the story work with the artwork so that it just sparkles, and I think that's what yours does.
Yeah, man, we were blessed again to have a guy like PR Dedalus, who's Polish-based, jump on this project with us from the beginning, and we have not only seen this comic book grow, but we've seen his art grow. Mm. You know, from the first issue to now the third issue, he has been able to do everything I've asked him, and it hasn't been easy. You know, I started off easy on him in the first issue, but by the third issue, I'm asking him to do some crazy stuff with his art.
That's good. Well, both the book and he, and your work will all be better as a result of kind of pushing the envelope as much as you can.
Yes, PR Dedalus, much credit to him, and I hope to be working with him again in the future if another Max Hunter story arc comes about.
Okay, so I do want to talk about, you mentioned some future stuff, and I do want to get to that, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. I want to be able to talk about Max Hunter 3. You've given a basic idea as to what Max Hunter 3 is about. Do you want to talk a little bit about, you know, obviously he's going to go back and try to get Keys, you know, and save her. Are there other things going on in the issue, too, as well as that?
Well, we see two sides, two parallel stories happening, one with Max Hunter and what he's doing is he's finally turning the tables on Snow. Snow has had the upper hand this whole time. And in issue 3, we see right off the bat that Max is just fed up with him, frustrated, and in need to save his partner. So he takes it back to where it all started. And he goes back to the abandoned church where they had their first battle. Mm-hmm. And he contacts Snow. And you'll see it in the comic book. Mm-hmm. And entices Snow. Let's finish this. Snow, what we know from him in the first comic book, he's a killer that always gets his mark. Mm-hmm. He's known for having a high percentage of kills, and to see that he couldn't finish the job of Max Hunter kind of upsets him. So he wants to go back. He wants to finish the job. Mm-hmm. We leave Max Hunter 2 with he's about to get her tongue cut out. That was like the big cliffhanger in issue 2. Mm-hmm. Max Hunter 3, we find out what finally happens with that. Mm-hmm. And so we start off there with Keys and Snow and what happens with that story. And we also find out a little bit more about Snow and what's going on in his head. We visit Snow's head in this issue as well. Mm-hmm. And we also revisit Max's past too. We get to see Max a little more grown up from the first time we saw him when he was a child, mm-hmm. with his adopted father, Sheriff Hunter, who where he got his last name from, right?
Mm-hmm. Very good. Now, one of the things I love about the books is that you make a contrast between Max and Snow. That they, even though they've had similar backgrounds, they've come out differently. I love the way that you've done that, is because, you know, the old nature versus nurture thing. I love the fact that you're making an argument for nurture, that sometimes what happens around us influences us real well. So I really like that in the story. I thought that was great.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost the same incidences that happen to both Snow and Max, but they take two totally different paths. And we get to really see why that is in issue 3. We get to see what's going on with Snow, why he took a different path coming out of his violence beginnings.
Mm-hmm. Now, as the Kickstarter campaign starts this Tuesday, right? May the 19th?
Yes, it starts this Tuesday, May the 19th. And we're really excited about this one. We're bringing out all the guns. We got John Royal to do the cover for our trade paperback of Max Hunter that's going to collect all three issues. Mm. So if someone hasn't read Max Hunter, this is the perfect time for them to get into it, because we'll have that offered up in our Kickstarter campaign. John Royal is an incredible cover artist. He's done stuff on IDW. He's done Danger Girl. He's done G.I. Joe. Mm. And if you look up his work, he's a beautiful artist. A really, really great job on all his work. Mm-hmm. We also have Eric Koda, where you may have seen some of his work in The Agency. Mm-hmm. He did our cover for Max Hunter 3, mm-hmm. and it also came out amazing. He's a great artist. He's done a lot of work, and his pencils and ink are very tight and really good. And then we have George Cortez, who did the color for both. His colors are vibrant and huge. And man, once the world finds out about George Cortez, he's going to be a lot harder to get to do stuff with. But he's definitely a very professional person and a great artist. And we have Jake Eisenberg, who did the inks for John Royal's cover. And he also did a bang up job with him. And what a great lineup of artists. We're going to be featuring them in our Kickstarter, mm-hmm. alongside obviously our work and PR Daedalus as well. And it's just the Justice League of artists. I'm hoping this turns out to, or the Avengers of artists, rather.
Depending on which company you prefer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I'm kind of fascinated because I have a friend who's putting together a comic book. And one of the things that I've been observing as well, you know, as well as helping him get it done, is that how much an influence a colorist can have on artwork. Because, you know, I saw the black and white outlines of the drawings. And when the colorist went in, and this particular colorist likes to refer to herself as an artist as well, not just a colorist. And now I know why, because a lot of the things, the touches that she added really accentuated the story. And yeah. So I think that your colorist is doing likewise, that they're adding things to the story that make it shine just a little more brightly.
I mean, it's so true. What a difference colors make. I mean, you could have a great story and a great comic book in black and white. I mean, Walking Dead has definitely proved that. Mm-hmm. But colors are really, really important. You know, there's certain things you don't have to narrate. You don't have to explain by text, because mm-hmm. colors do that for you. You know, like, for example, whether it's night or daytime. Mm-hmm. We had the cover done by John Royal. And then when I had George Cortez color it, he colored it at night, mm-hmm. like as if it were nighttime. Mm-hmm. And when I showed it to John Royal, he said, man, this is great. But I actually imagined it during the day. Mm-hmm. I'm like, really? Okay. So George Cortez immediately went and did a second version of the daytime. And it is night and day. The two covers, you know, mm-hmm. They're not different, but they certainly are different in a sense as well. Like, one pops out, the day one pops out, the night one looks, you know, mysterious, like there's something brewing. It's a beautiful thing, it really is. And we're going to have both covers, actually, on our Kickstarter. We're going to have the night cover as our cover for the trade paperback, and then we're going to be releasing a limited first issue alternate cover of it during the day. So we're re-releasing the first issue, and we're going to have the cover daytime.
Wow. That's going to be great. That'll be fun. Is that like a stretch goal or just one of the things you're going to offer right from the start?
Oh, we're going to offer it right from the start, yeah.
Okay, that'll be good. So now, you said it starts on May 19th. What day does it conclude on?
It will conclude on July 2nd, right before the 4th of July fireworks. So once the Kickstarter's done, we'll be shooting up some fireworks and celebrating, hopefully celebrating our success when that happens.
Okay, very good. Now, if somebody wants to participate, I always got to ask, how do people get to your Kickstarter project? Are you going to be on a website? How's this going to happen?
Yeah, follow our link to Kickstarter and our website. That's www.darksideglobal.com. That's www.darksideglobal.com.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Now, if somebody goes to the Kickstarter.com, they can find it by looking under Max Hunter. Is that how they'll find it?
Yeah. If they go to Kickstarter and just type in Max Hunter, they're going to see three Kickstarters, Max Hunter Issue 1, Max Hunter Issue 2, and then the live one, which is our Max Hunter Issue 3 Kickstarter.
Okay. So they can do that. If they want to see how well you've done in the past, they could always look up the previous ones. So that's what makes me very optimistic about how this is going to go, because you're very successful at it and you produce good product. And that's always a good thing for Kickstarter as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you. Thank you. We have a couple of exciting things reward-wise in our Kickstarter this time around. Mm-hmm. We saw huge success with the metal cards that we weren't really able to... We never reached our stretch goals, but we gave them out anyways, and we've had a good response. People really like them. So we're going to have the metal cards coming straight out of the rewards this time around, so everyone can have the option of getting them if they wanted them. We're also going to have a metal cover for our covers. Mm-hmm. For the higher-end rewards, we're going to print out an actual metal print of the cover for our Kickstarters to have. We're going to have the pop figures again. Mm-hmm. Jose Dominguez, Mo's brother, one of our Darkside Global peeps, he did a great job coloring these pop figures and adding details to them and such. And they came out really cool, really nice, and I think that they're great to have in any collection.
Mm-hmm. You can buy these blank read pop figures that you can color. The question I have to ask is, how many of these does he have to make? Is he going to be busy for the next couple of months?
Hopefully he will be. No, we'll limit them. We'll probably put 6 out there. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, he doesn't like to be rushed when doing things. Like, he wants to do things really nice. And because of it, we get great product out of it as well. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we don't want to bombard him with work either. So we're probably going to have 6 out, limiting it to only 6. So there'll only be 6 out there for you to have, and makes it even more collectible.
So how are people going to access it? Are you going to do a drawing? How are you going to do that?
No, it's just when you do Kickstarter, you can put a limit on your rewards. So you can say... Let's say it's the $100 reward. Mm-hmm. You have to be the first 6 to get the reward in order to get it. Okay. But if someone emails us and just wants the pop figure, I'm sure there's something we can work out.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. Of course, that's another way to get some support in, is to let these folks access those pop figures. So that'll be very good. Because the last time, as I remember the last time, that kind of came to your rescue when there was something that you were going to make available, and unfortunately that wasn't possible. And so the Read Pop figures kind of came to the rescue for that.
They really did. They really, really did. We tried to do statues the first time around, and we just couldn't. We couldn't get the statues going. The pop figures, you know, when they came out with the blank ones, it was like an epiphany. Like, the skies opened up. There was a beam of light shining on those blank pop figures, and we're like, oh, perfect. This is a great idea. And let me tell you, there's a community out there for these pop figures. This is becoming a super hot collectible item. I know myself, I've gone crazy with them, and I'm going crazy collecting them all over the place. Like, yesterday I went to GameStop and got the Star Wars collections of the pop figures that were exclusive. It's been an interesting ride with these pop figures.
So you're going to put Max Hunter right there with the Star Wars figures, I take it then.
Yes, Max Hunter and Snow. We did a Snow pop figure as well.
Oh, that'll be cool. Very, very cool. So we've got a little time, but we want to, if we can, get things off to a good start and come to a good conclusion, too, because that's always the way to make sure you get the wonderful product that you're supporting, is to get in there and do what you can and help things come to a fruition very successfully. So we're looking forward to that. So this will be fun to see, and I'm sure that things will go well. So I'm already looking forward to what I hope will be a very successful conclusion. So that'll be great.
A group of friends of mine started a company called Dream Alive. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they're starting filming like documentaries and things like that. Mm-hmm. So they wanted to do our company as a test run. Mm-hmm. And they started filming our Dark Side Global, just interviewing us and taking footage of like us at the convention and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens that in doing so, we wanted to make a Kickstarter trailer, which so far Luli Roche has done an amazing job doing our trailers, and she's working hard on our next one. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to do like a supplementary trailer just to show off maybe a live action Max Hunter, live action Snow. Mm-hmm. We got together, we filmed it. It got such a good response that now they want to do webisodes of Max Hunter and Snow. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Live action?
Yeah, it's going to be live action webisodes. Like, it'll probably be C quality at first, but who knows? Maybe it picks up a fan base, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. You start somewhere, and this is the place to go. You never know when fans get involved. Things can happen like this, so that's great to hear.
Yeah, they're really cool. And if anyone out there is interested in having some sort of video of their company or of their comic book or some live action, they should contact Dream Alive. It's Pedro Collazo, Jose AK. You could look at them on our Facebook too. Mm-hmm. DJ as well, who plays Snow in our webisodes. He's great too. And Mario Xavier plays Max Hunter. He's a very good friend of mine from high school that is actually in the movie business. He's done Bird Notice and he's been in a bunch of movies and television shows like The Glades and such. So it's a lot of fun. It's really cool.
Very cool. Well, you know, this is what happens when success starts. Success breeds success. And so what's happening is now that the book is taking off and now all these other opportunities are becoming available to you. And I think that's a great thing to happen for such a great book and for great creators.
Thank you. We're really riding the train. We're hoping that we could do as much as we can with what we have and create as much as we can, as long as we can. That's what we love to do. That's what we grew up wanting to do.
Now, if somebody wants to get a hold of issues number 1 and 2 from Max Hunter, how do they go and do that?
Well, if they want it digitally, we're actually re-releasing Max Hunter 1 in Comixology in a couple of weeks under the Think Alike production banner with the hot new cover of John Royal daytime cover, just on Comixology. Mm-hmm. And they'll be able to purchase the comic book there digitally. And then issue 2 and 3 will be coming out bi-monthly, like every month after that. Mm-hmm. If they want to get it physically, they just have to go to our website and they can purchase our comic book there or email us with a personal order and we'll get it done. We'll send it right away.
Okay, very good. Now, I've always got to ask you, because you mentioned that Gateway City. Now, this is kind of wrapping up the Max Hunter storyline. You've got other plans. Do you want to tease us a little bit or tell us a little bit about what we might see from Gateway City after Max Hunter wraps up?
Oh, certainly. Since I'm not the writer for this one, I don't know what I can or cannot tease. Okay. But I will tell you the premise of it. Mm-hmm. So in Gateway City, we have a detective who is helping the recently homicide or murdered suspects solve their case. And so this detective is also a scientist, and he has these robots that he's made. And what he does is he transfers the memories of the recent victim into these robots so that they can come alive for 7 days to solve their own crime. Mm-hmm. So this next story is going to be called Redux by Proxy. Mm-hmm. And it's going to follow almost episodically these characters, and we get to see how they react to having a second chance at life for a short time and how they are able to solve their own crime.
Very good. Are you going to have like a Gateway City kind of logo every time you deal with Gateway City on the cover or something like that? Is there going to be a way visually that people can look at it and know that this is part of your Gateway City series?
Well, they could definitely see the Dark Side Global presents inside every comic.
Okay.
Yeah, and we set up the setting in every comic book, whether through narration and such, so they'll know. They'll know it's Gateway City. We also have a little map of Gateway City we like to put in the back of our comic books as well. Mm-hmm. So people can see, oh, Max Hunter took place in the rails, and Redux by Proxy is taking place, you know, wherever it is that it's going to take place.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So Kickstarter.com, or go to the website that was previously mentioned, and you'll be able to access this good stuff. I thought we would wrap up by talking about you had a very pleasant experience happen to you at MegaCon.
Yes, yes.
And I wanted to wrap up on that because I thought that was kind of fun. It's a good thing I wasn't involved because I tend to muck up these kinds of things. So do you want to tell people what took place at MegaCon?
Well, first of all, we really wanted you involved, but we needed the table space for it. But that's why I had asked you if you were doing a podcast there, like I had a table space there. So I have also been blessed with an amazing girlfriend, Erica Oliveira, who has been super supportive of this process. I mean, the whole comic book industry and getting into comic books, it's very draining with time, with financially too. And it's hard. It could be very hard if you don't have the right support group. And Erica, the Dark Side Global team and Erica are my support group, and she's been super supportive and amazing throughout this whole process. And we have very much common interests, and we've been going out for about almost 2 years now. Mm-hmm. And at some point, a couple of months ago, I just knew, you know, this is the one. I don't think I'll be able to find someone like her ever again. And I don't think I want to find anyone like her because I'm very happy with her. So mm-hmm. I wanted it to be during MegaCon when I proposed to her because we got to know each other at a convention. So I thought it appropriate that I proposed her at a convention. Mm-hmm. So I set up a scavenger hunt for her mm-hmm. that she would go around looking for clues at mm-hmm. different tables. Mm-hmm. And Creature Entertainment had a clue and they were really cool helping out. Bianca Romp, a very talented artist that draws like the teddy bear versions of superheroes, she also helped out. And Tim Vigil and Marcelo Bravo over at Maelstrom Comics also helped out. Mm-hmm. And the last clue was in Think Alike Productions. Mm-hmm. And so she went on the scavenger hunt, and at the end of it, she put the clues together and it had the proposal, will you marry me? The will being the Green Lantern ring, of course, mm-hmm. I have to throw Green Lantern in there. and all these other different parts were different superheroes and characters and such. And mm-hmm. And the best part about it is that she said yes.
How about that? How about
that? So now we're in a wedding frenzy. It was really a beautiful thing, and it made me very happy.
Very good. Well, hopefully she's very happy too. It sounds like it. So you guys are going to be fun. So hopefully before too long, you guys will tie the knot, and then you'll make comic books together for the rest of your lives, basically.
That would be the dream.
Yeah, that would be great. Well, Alex, you do a great job and make great books and tell good stories. So please keep it up, and we'll look forward to talking with you again soon. And much success with your Kickstarter again, and keep up the great stuff. It's so good.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you for having me again. You're awesome. I love your podcast. I love what you do, and your interviewing skills are top tier, man. Thank you so much for having me, man.
Well, thank you.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this episode. Be back next week when I'll have another great interview with another wonderful comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.